Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event. Fight fans worldwide, you've tuned into the number one undisputed boxing podcast today. This is the Boxing Breakdown. Now, your heavy-handed, hard-hitting host, Mark Roxy.
What's up, what's up, what's up, and welcome to another edition of the Boxing Breakdown with your host, Mark Roxy. I'm super pumped to be here today, and I got a great show for you. I got my, he's practically a regular at this point. I got the professional boxing judge, Harold Hunt, who will be joining me today, and we are going to really get into the landscape of professional boxing. What is going on? There is so much going on. The boxing world has heated up, and we had Sean Porter and Sebastian Formiglia. We had Dylan White and Alexander Povetkin, Jeff Horn and Tim Zhu, and of course, the famous Canelo and his the update on his contract. And we'll kind of close out the show with Teofimo and Lomachenko chatting that up. So we got a lot for you today. So buckle up. Make sure you're wearing your seatbelt if you're driving and listening to the Boxing Breakdown. Or if you're at your house, just chill out. Grab your glass of wine or whatever it is that you fancy. And let's get into this show, okay, you guys? So please welcome my special guest, Mr. Harold Hunt. What's up, what's up, what's up? Harold Hunt, what's going on, brother?
What's up, what's up, what's up? What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Yeah? I'm great.
What's going on? I was looking forward to your getting in here on the Boxing Breakdown.
Okay, okay.
So what's going
I'm
on?
Here.
Yeah, you're here. I know, in the flesh, you're here. So everything good?
Everything is good, man. Just so much going on in our sport.
Yeah, so much is going on in boxing, man. You got that right. Things are really starting to heat up here and there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm
so
glad to see it.
I know. Me too. We got. Today on today's episode of the Boxing Breakdown, we're gonna kind of dig into a bunch of different topics. We're going to just canvas some of the news in the landscape of in boxing across the weight classes. We'll touch a little bit on Sean Porter and Sebastian Formiglia, that fight that took place about a week or so ago. And then we'll also dig into Povetkin versus Dylan White. And I know, Harold, you're really stoked about the Jeff Horn and Tim Zhu fight. So we'll talk about that.
Yes.
And I think we got on the agenda to kind of hit the Canelo contract. What's going on with that mega contract? There's a lot of news out there. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Teofimo and Vasily Lomachenko update. I know they moved that fight. It was supposed to be in September, but they moved it out, right? And
Yes.
Yeah, and then we'll just kind of go over some of the news, some of the schedule for the upcoming boxing events. And that's what's up, man. So let's get into that Sean Porter fight, man. Did you get a chance to see the fight?
Yes, I did.
You did? So first off, just for those of you listening in today, Sean Porter fought Sebastian Formiglia, and it was an absolute clinic. I mean, It was a clinic on one way because Sean Porter just does what Sean Porter did, except he did it for 12 rounds. And it almost appeared at times that he was really just, you know, getting the rounds in, locking the rounds in. And I found it to be painful to watch, actually, you know, because I felt that Sebastian Formella, which by the way, he's a gladiator, man. This guy, he's from Germany, and he's I think he was like 22 and 0 when he took the fight with 10 knockouts, and he was boxing against Sean Porter, who at the time was 30 and 3 with one draw. And he took, man, the body shots and the shots that he took in that fight, I was like on the couch cringing watching it. So what did you think of that fight?
Well, first of all, Sean Porter really showed me something different. He usually is kind of a brawler. It's not really pretty to see. You know, he's eventually going to overwhelm or just out hustle, even though it doesn't have really any kind of style to it. But in this fight, he boxed and it was clean. It was very, you could see everything coming. He didn't like brawl and just get all involved in it where it was kind of a hodgepodge of punches. He was clean. He was precise, you know, and whatever the pandemic did for him, it really sharpened him up. Now, the best thing about it was his opponent could take the punch. So he got some really good work in. And I really think his future opponents are going to say, wow, I mean, he's really improved in the boxing area, and it's going to serve him well.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, man. I was so impressed at the way that he appeared in the fight. He looked clean. He looked fresh. He looked sharp. He was pressing the action, but it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't wild and sloppy. It was really, really like a clinic. I mean, and it was almost like, you know, if I was sitting on a back, you know, what I was thinking, right, was, man, Sean Porter is the real deal. He's not done by any means. Like, he's looking to get back to the top, upper echelon. I think he was ranked 5 at the time. And, you know, he's looking to get right back up there in the mix so he can get a big fight, you know, another big fight. I think he's ranked number 12 in the world across all the weight divisions. So, you know, pound for pound, he's ranked number 12 in his division. I'm sure he's probably 3 or 4, 5, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, he just looks so good. And I felt like, you know, not to slight Sebastian Formella, because, you know, this guy really had a nice style. He had a nice style. I mean, he was a beautiful long-rangey fighter. I think he was about 5'9", so he probably had like 2 or 3 inches on Sean Porter. You know, and he had the reach too. He had about 0.5 inch on the reach, but he just couldn't get it done, you know, but he was a tough fighter. I mean, those shots, anybody else that gets hit with those shots, I don't know if they stay there. And, I think anybody in the, welterweight division, they need to really, pay attention. Because Sean Porter, like you said, the pandemic, the break and the coronavirus, I think you get a lot of fighters that really put a lot of time into their technique, you know, and he's a perfect example of someone who did that.
It is very clear. Now, I got to give to his opponent, because he himself was a decent fighter. But when you've never lost, you don't know how to lose. You haven't been taught to lose. You're going to take those blows, because you don't know what it's like to lose or to have give up across your mind. So it didn't cross his mind. So we got a chance to really see some really good action. Now, when you said that you were kind of sickening you, or it was sickening to you, yeah, in effect sometimes, yeah, kind of blows he was taking, I looked at it as just he was executing the boxing playbook. Okay, this is how you do this particular move. This is how you apply this. This is how you do that. And it was just something really clean and impressive to see that he was be able to apply this craft to this guy and who could take it. And we got to see all the elements. I mean, he did everything that you could think of that you're taught in boxing. He was able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and to, you know, Familia, I mean, he had a great record. Sebastian Familia has a good record. You know, he had a lot of early knockouts, you know, early on in his career. But as he pushes through, you know, the last handful of fights, you know, you see a lot of UDs, not too many KOs. There were maybe like in the last five fights, maybe there were two KOs that he, I think he got a KO against Angelo Frank, and he might have KO'd another guy after that. But everything else was unanimous decisions, you know. So he goes the distance. He definitely boxes his way to a decision. But then if you look at Sean Porter, man, Sean Porter, bro, he, you know, I mean, he, I guess he gets some unanimous decisions too, but, you know, I don't know. He just seems like he's just such a hard fighter to fight because you never know what you're going to get. And at the same time, you know what you're going to get. You know, like all his UDs, all his unanimous decisions have been against fighters like just, you know, like he fought Keith Thurman. He lost a unanimous decision to Keith Thurman. He fought Adrian Broner. He fought Kell Brook. He fought Adrian Grandos. He fought
Broner.
Yeah. He fought Danny Garcia, man. I mean, he fought Ugas. He fought, oh my gosh, Errol Spence. The guy fights everybody. Like I am so impressed with his career because he fights everybody. It's not like he's, you know, I mean, all I can say is his name, he's got blue chips on his resume that are pretty outstanding, man. So hats off to you, Sean Porter, bro. You're the real deal. Great job. I look forward to watching what you're going to be doing in the coming year. I'm sure there's some good stuff in your future. That's for sure. And yeah. What are you going to say?
I totally agree with that. That, you know, he'd look great. Now, he was in a situation where he wasn't going to be threatened. So he could really work on it. He really displayed the skill. So that was really good. Now, it looked like the guy's head was flying around, but a lot of times a haircut can really accentuate a punch.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever he took a head shot, his hair flew everywhere.
No,
and as
sure.
a judge, you're as a fan, you're going to be influenced because his head's just flying around because of the hair. So I know that wasn't planned or anything like that, but it just adds to the theatrical situation of his punches landing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so. I get that. And for those of you out there listening in on the program today, you know, Harold Hunt is a professional boxing judge based out of North
ATL.
The ATL, that's right, Atlanta, right. So, you know, he's speaking from the perspective of being a judge. And while, you know, most of the judges are way smarter than to just focus on the hair, it can play a factor when you get, you know, especially for the fans, you know, you get hit with a pop, you get popped with a shot on your glove and your hair flies around. And you're like, ooh, that looks like that hurt. But now I'm talking about, listen, I just want to make sure, Harold, you understand that I'm speaking directly to the spleen shots and the liver shots and the rib shots that this guy Formelia took by Sean Porter. I mean, they were, listen, he worked that body that night. He worked that body that night. There's nothing, man. That was a techno playbook fight by Mr. Porter. And it was no surprise that that fight took place at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. So you get to play. Yes. Did you hear that? Techno, Microsoft.
Yes.
Theater. You got that? You picked that up?
Got it. That was a nice play on words. Congrats. Good grab right there.
Right? That's what's up, man. So,
but I did enjoy the body work. That was my favorite part, the body work. That was my favorite part from the on this occasion was the body work.
Yeah, I could go back. So, you know, if you want to watch a fight, all y'all coaches out there, everybody who's you know, working within the sport, you know, go check that out, man, because that's like I show that to my fighters. Say, this is how you work the body. Take a look at that. Take a look at that, because he did a great job in that fight. And anyway, so let's move on, man. Let's move on to...
Okay, let's go.
You called me and you were like, yo, I want to talk about the Povetkin and Dillian White fight. That was a barn burner for as long as it lasted anyway. Tell me about it. Tell me what your take is on that fight.
Povetkin always looks like he's on his last leg. If you've seen his other fights, he looks like he's getting ready to drown every time. But he is always, always dangerous and on edge to be successful.
Yeah.
And this was no different. And I've seen five of his fights, and he looks the same way every time. Wow. However, he was setting this punch up from round one. And I noticed that early, but I didn't really think about it until he landed, not that punch, he landed a couple other punches that were very similar without the power, the velocity, or the placement, but it was open.
Right.
It was open. And this is in between him getting knocked down, that it was open.
Wow.
And as you know, he simply took the opportunity. He not allowed himself, but he was vulnerable. And you know how it is when you're attacking, you leave yourself open. Dillian was in that mode, and he was able to deliver it. Now,
right.
Dillian did say, hey, I practiced blocking that punch a million times over my career.
Right.
I know when it's coming. I know how to block it. It's not even an issue.
Right.
But the confidence that he had just gotten from knocking that guy down seconds before, open that up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I felt like Povetkin was really stumbly and kind of, he looked like his equilibrium was off in the fight. He looked kind of off balance, and he didn't have hand-to-elbow discipline. He was dropping his hands, you know, his hands were coming down, and especially his jab hand, it wasn't really working for him, you know, but you know what he was landing early on in the fight was that looping right hand around the guard, you know, right through the V. He was landing that shot, and you know that Dillian White had his hand, you know, his jab hand was down too, big time. So it was really the game of the right hand, you know.
Yes.
So
well,
tell me more.
Okay, so. The way I was seeing it was you kind of eat your own hype. And Mr. White in the ring.
Oh, that's heavy. That's heavy. Go ahead.
He was feasting in the ring as far as he knew that he was going to easily take care of the situation. There was no crowd to kind of bolster on his opponent. And he figured mentally he had this thing.
Right.
And it showed in his defense. Like you said, his hand was down. It showed in his aggression. It showed. And he said, okay, well, let me go ahead. Please go. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. No, man. I'm digging what you're saying. I was just going to say that Povetkin found a home for that looping right hand into the five to the body. Like he was landing that he was going for the liver off the looping right hand over the top. And he kept landing it the whole time, man. He was landing it a lot. And I wonder that was if that was part of their plan to really, or if that punch just was there, you know?
I can't say, but I would believe that White kind of just scouted it. I mean, you get hit three or four times with that thing, but you don't necessarily pay attention or try to.
Yeah,
he really didn't try to block it.
No, there's no adjustment. There's no adjustment for the entire fight. Dillian White and his corner, man, they never adjusted to the, you know, not positionally, not in terms of the location of the ring where he was standing. You know, he was just right there to be hit with the looping right hand. And I mean, after so many punches, that shot, you know, it's, you know, it's going to do damage, you know?
Now, the way his toes grabbed that canvas and he steps to the left and he delivered that thing, I mean, the torque was just fabulous. I mean, you could just see it was a perfectly landed shot. Now, right. Some people say, oh, that's a lucky shot. But if you know boxing at all, you could see that it was being set up, and you could see that as soon as he landed it, he knew it was completely, totally over.
Are you talking, about Povetkin's knockdown, or are you talking?
No, I'm talking about when White was knocked down by Povetkin.
Oh, I got you. I thought you were talking about, because, you know, for boxing breakdown fans out there, check out that fight, because Povetkin was dropped too. He was dropped. He beat the count. He got back up. I think it was more of a flash knockdown than anything, but he got back up, you know. He might have got down twice in that fight, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He got knocked down with I think it was a left, but then he got knocked down with the same uppercut that he hit White with.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same. Well, White gave him the idea. White said, yo, here, take this shot. Boom. He was like, oh, yeah, you just reminded me. I can land that same shot on you. Boom. And he knocked him out. But, yo, he caught him flush. He caught him flush right up the middle. I mean, Dillian White's body just folded over, man. He almost went up into the air and then folded forward, like just completely forward. It was, it was quite a knockout.
Yeah, the obstacles on that is ridiculous, because when he hits him, he's out before he hits the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Before he hits the canvas.
Agreed, okay. Yeah.
Then his head bounces off the rope, but when the guy comes in to, the referee comes to turn him over, he is so limp that his head just flops over like a fish.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
He is totally knocked out. And that kind of obstacle can follow you for your entire career. As in, you were so knocked out that you were gone. And I mean, he was totally comatose.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is one reason why some of his adversaries are kind of coming in hard on him, as in Deontay Wilder and others, because they weren't knocked out as severely as he was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a severe knockout where he was unconscious.
Yeah, but come on, man. I mean, really, like, anybody can go down in this game, man. Anybody with the right shot, lucky shot or not, you know, I mean, it was a well-placed shot. I think, like we said,
it was
a well-placed shot. It was right up the middle. It was an uppercut from the low position, and it was just well executed. So I think, still, like, in that division, in the heavyweight division, anything can happen, man. Anything can happen for sure. Whether it's Dante Wilder or anyone else, you know, anything can happen, you know?
Yes, I agree with that totally. I do. You look at what happened to Fury. You look what happened to AJ.
Yeah, exactly.
What AJ did to Klitschko.
That's what makes the division so exciting. And actually, you know, so just basically, I think I'm right. Alexander Povetkin moves, he improves to 36 and two losses and one draw. He's got 25 knockouts and he's got one KO. Loss. So 36 and 2 with one draw. And then Dillian White drops back to 27 with 27 wins with two losses, 18 wins by way of KO and 2 losses by way of KO now. So, you know, I don't think it's over for Dillian White. I think he gets to show his mettle now. You know, I mean, he's had one other loss, and that loss was back in, I think it was December 12th of 2015 against Anthony Joshua, you know, I mean, the top of the division. So, yeah, he took a loss. I think he was down in round 7 of 12. And
Same punch, Mark.
Well, somebody did their studying, man. Somebody definitely did their studying. And you know what's interesting is that Alexander Povetkin was KO'd by Anthony Joshua as well. So, and I think he also lost, Povetkin lost to Vladimir Klitschko, I think. That was a long, yes. That was like in 2013. But it was a great matchup. It was a great style matchup, particularly because both of them are defensively sloppy and, you know, are vulnerable. And so it's like, who's going to go down? You know, exciting.
So right now, that's my knockout of the year. Now, we got a few months here.
That's your knockout.
And there's a few things.
That's your knockout
so far,
of the year?
So far.
Wow.
Only because it was so shocking. It reminds me of the Pacquiao knockout against Marquez.
Right.
When Marquez was on the ropes, bleeding, being just beaten, it was almost over, and he shocked Pacquiao by using his own aggression against him and just turned him off.
Straight right hand, boom, on Pacquiao's jumping in. That's a textbook, you know. When fighters jump in, man, you better watch it. You know, stop jumping in, fighters, because you jump in, you pay the price. You gotta work your way in there.
The shock value is what puts it number one for me.
Yeah.
There's been other knockouts this year, of course, and you see them coming, and they may end, spectacularly, and they may be violent, but none of them was as shocking and sudden as this was.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see that. I mean, I seen some pretty good knockouts this year, man. I don't even know. I hadn't really thought about what my favorite knockout of the year was, because really, Harold, it's only August. We still have, you know, another half a year to go before we can figure it out. I have a feeling that you might be able to see one in the Vasily Lomachenko Teofimo fight. There's a possibility of a knockout of the year in that fight. That's what makes that fight so compelling. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's talk about the Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu is, for y'all that don't know out there, Boxing Breakdown listeners, Tim Zhu is the son of the former world champion, Costa Zhu. So he not only is he a fantastic fighter, but, you know, he's trained by his pops, and his pops did a really good job. I mean, I haven't really been following this guy. Have you been following him?
Well, I didn't see him fight, but I noticed that he was winning. And of course, you're going to say, "Hey, man, you know, you're eating off your dad's name, and they're feeding you patsies, you can be successful financially." Right. So I kind of discounted it that way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can see that because he stepped up after his fifth or sixth fight, you know, I mean, he started out and he was fighting, you know, some experimental fights. And by the time he gets to his, seventh fight, you know, he steps up. Actually, his eighth fight, you know, he steps up and fights somebody who's got, you know, more wins than he's got losses. And then he kind of graduates to fighting fighters that have more wins than losses all the way up, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. And now he's 16-0 with 12 KOs. And to be really honest with you, Harold, this is a fighter that I haven't spent a whole lot of time studying or following except for the fight with Jeff Horn, right? So is that the same with you? Have you seen him before?
Yes, yes. But what I saw in that fight was that calmness, being in the ring, and that awareness, he had that from day one, even when he had some of the easy fights. That is what carried him through a fight with the veterans like that.
Right.
Because, yeah, we didn't see the first five fights. Yeah, they may have been, you know, easy fights for him to develop the skill set. But that temperament, he had that from day one. And that temperament is going to carry him. Because, as you know, Jeff Horn is no joke.
No,
he gave Pacquiao fits. didn't just walk through him. Bud didn't just walk through him. He beat him, but he just didn't walk through him. He had no answer for Mr. Zhu at all. He was totally outclassed.
Yeah, you're right. And Harold, you hitting on a couple of different points that are really important to touch on. I'm a little salty about that fight. I'm a little salty about the Jeff Horn Manny Pacquiao fight because I felt that Manny Pacquiao did enough to win the fight. It wasn't a great fight. He was a smaller guy. He fought Jeff Horn in Australia in his hometown and in an arena that was filled with Jeff Horn fans. And I think they kind of didn't like. I don't know. Have you watched that fight?
Yes. However, Jeff Horn was still—he may have not looked like he won the fight, but he was still functional.
Okay,
wasn't functional in this fight at all.
So, do you think that Jeff Horn won that fight? Let's just straighten that out right there before we even get on to this fight. I just need to hear you tell me that you think Jeff Horn won that fight.
I don't believe he won the fight.
Ah, that's my man. There you go. Thank you, Harold. I was hoping you would say that. I wasn't, you know, counting on you saying that. I thought you might go with Jeff Horn because you like him, and because you said that he's a really great fighter and that he, you know, took it to Pacquiao. But I really felt like Pacquiao won that fight. Shout out to Manny Pacquiao. Because I think you got the short end of the stick there. And back to this Tim Tzu fight against Jeff Horn. Jeff Horn is, he was 20-2 with one draw, right? 20 wins, two losses with
two
one
losses.
Draw going into the fight. And Tim Tzu was 15-0 with, I believe, 11 knockouts, right? And he comes out of this fight. He TKOs Jeff Horn in the eighth round of 10. It was scheduled a 10-round fight, and he TKO'd him. And the thing is like, if you watch that fight, it was amazing because Tim Tzu, as you mentioned, was like he was the matador in the fight. But he was a matador that was so angry at the bull that he would come in and anything that Jeff Horn tried to do, any tie-ups, he really excelled on the tie-up, the single-handed tie-ups. He'd win all those exchanges, and then he'd come right back to working. He was stealing the body. He was damaging the body of Jeff Horn, and it was a fantastic fight for Tim Tzu. Really great, great performance against a quality fighter in Jeff Horn. So,
yeah, what I enjoyed was when Horn was aggressive and would try to use some of the bullying tactics that he's used, you know, for successfully, Tim would just stand and just block that. Kind of a football type of thing where when you rush, he just plants his foot and you bounce off the body and you don't push him back.
Yep.
He stood his ground when he tried to rush him.
And hit him too.
and he would hit him, several times. So after a while, Horn just couldn't just run and just kind of move him off his stance by rushing him like that. Yeah. And if he did do that, he was blocked and he was hit at the same time he was scored on. So that impressed me. And then when he went into the wild Jeff Horn type mode, he was completely calm and picked his shots and just broke him down. Horn quit. He quit. He didn't go to decision. He quit because he had nothing. He could not even. He just couldn't be successful. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
To me, that is more impressive than him being knocked out by Crawford. Crawford
right.
ended him. Yes, that's true. But he was still aggressive. He was still coming. He said, "Okay, you're gonna have to kill me." And
right.
then,
yeah, he went out on a shield.
But this one, it was a mental down, and that is more damaging to me as a fighter to be mentally exhausted.
Yeah, that's his third loss. Yeah. I mean, that was his third loss. He lost to his first loss was to Terrence Crawford, as you just mentioned. That was at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and then he fought Michael Zarafa. And he was also TKO'd in the ninth round of 12. And then, of course, now Tim Zhu. So I think I just wanted to also say that Horn dropped. Actually, Horn went down in round 3 and in round 6. And when they stopped the fight in round 8, right, the commentator and some of the media announced that the corner basically quit, that Horn quit on his shield, and he didn't quit on his shield. Actually, that was incorrect. The bout was stopped because of the referee's decision to stop the bout, not because of the, he didn't quit on his shield. So I just wanted to, shout out to Jeff Horn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't quit on the stool. The referee put a halt to the bout.
That is good to know.
Yeah, yeah, right. Because I'm sure if you watch it, it looks as if the corner doesn't want, they don't want the fighter to come back out. But that's not how it happened.
But that is something that needs to be trumpeted, because promoters don't want to work with someone who's quit.
Yeah, yeah, who quits on the stool. Well, I just said it. You heard it right here on the Boxing Breakdown. Shout out to Jeff Horn. He is not a quitter, man. He's going out on his shield, as he's done in his other three losses, in his other two losses. That he's a real fighter, so he's not,
for
real. Let's give him some props there for the referee did the right thing by stopping the bout. I think at that point in the eighth round, there was no more that Jeff Horn was going to be able to accomplish. So it was a good stoppage. You can't fault him for that. It was a great stoppage, actually. So
also, he was very gracious in defeat. He had kind words to say for Tim, and his words were genuine, as in he acknowledged the skill set. And he believed that Tim will be, very successful going forward, because he obviously saw how that style, is works really well.
Right.
So I was really happy to hear him comment on Tim in such a manner.
Yeah, I wonder what Jeff Horn's going to be up to. I guess, the management, that's Glenn Rushton and his team, they're going to really have to sit down and think about what's next for Jeff Horn. As far as, Tim Zhu and Costa Zhu, his father, man, super welterweight division, is on notice, because this guy is, he can fight, man. And he's only 25 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the mental aptitude he has now is of a fighter who has a lot more fights.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So let's flip it up here, man. Let's talk about, Canelo.
Who?
Alvarez.
Canelo.
Sal Canelo Alvarez, bro. What's going on with Sal Canelo Alvarez?
Number one box office draw in our sport right now. Everyone hangs on what Canelo says, what he does, what he doesn't say, and what he doesn't do. Which is positive and perplexing at the same time. Now, he has his guaranteed $40 million per bout.
Is it 40 million?
It's not, per bout.
I think it's 30. Floyd, is it 30 million?
No, Floyd was 32.5. He's at 40.
Man, I thought, okay, if he's at 40, that changes the whole landscape of the whole conversation, because that's even more than I thought it was. I thought that he was around 30. So I thought when he was fighting before, right, he did a certain number of pay-per-views that equated to about $30 million, all right, for him. And when he signed that contract with DAZN, what they did is they said, okay, 30 million times 11, I think it was an 11 fight deal, maybe. It was originally, just for the Boxing Breakdown fans to have some background on this, I think it was an 11 fight deal, and it was 30 million a fight. So if you do the math, 30, right? That comes out to what? 300 and what? 330 million, 340 million, 365 million, something like that. Right?
Well, it's reported as 40 million a fight. Man. Now, they want to give him 20 to fight whoever they approve.
Who wants
the contract states that unless it's a war, a famine, act of God, a coup, or any other major catastrophe, they are responsible for that 40. But Crawford said, I'm not taking the cut, pandemic or not. However, if they can't pay him 40, there's a legal clause in his contract where he can leave. Now, of course, they're going to drag him through court. He'll lose maybe a year of fighting, all of that, if he tries to exercise that. But it's there.
Huh. So, okay. So let's talk facts here. Okay. So Canelo Alvarez signs the richest deal in sports history at $365 million, right? It's the largest contract in sports history, right? Inking a 5-year deal for 11 fights worth $365 million with the streaming service DAZN, okay? So that's what's up. That's actually what Canelo signed, okay? He signed a $365 million deal, right? So that means that for each fight, he gets 30 mil, right? 30 mil, right? For an 11 fight deal. And that's phenomenal, right? Now that's with the DAZN. And now, because I would assume, and actually I'm not even going to assume, because I did a little research and talked to some sources, some people on my wire, right? And what I know is that the 30 mil, 11 fight deal worth $365 million was prior to the coronavirus that's hit around the world. And what DAZN wants to do is DAZN wants to say, yo, the deal isn't quite working out the way we hoped it would work out. And what we'd like to do, right, I'm paraphrasing, right, but what we would like to do is renegotiate this deal because we can't pay you $365 million for 11 fights because of coronavirus. Can we rework this out, right? That's kind of what's happening, right? Am I right?
Well, you're right, everything, but I must let you know that it's been debated and talked about in several forums that it's 40 per fight and that he beat Floyd because Floyd was getting 32.5 per fight on his deal.
Okay.
So they were saying that he beat Floyd in that regard. He gets more money per fight than Floyd ever got per fight.
Right.
So we can fact find out later. However, all of the other things you're speaking of is so clear.
Yeah.
Well, so do you think that he'll exercise the clause and get out?
So, okay. So
do you this think is, the zone will let him out?
This is what, I mean, I don't, I mean, how, like, you know, here's what I know, right? What I know is that it's $365 million. That is a fact. Unless they gave him a bonus or something like that because, you know, he's not fighting. I don't know. But that's not, listen, it's 360. Let's just go with that. If you prove me wrong on the next episode, I will be gladly, you know, I'll gladly I'll gladly eat some humble pie on that. Not a problem at all, Harold. You're the bomb, bro. But here's the deal. Yeah, here's the deal. I understand that the sticking point here is that they don't want to pay him his money, right?
Right.
Canelo, listen, Canelo could have signed with anybody. Canelo could have made a deal with Bob Arum. He could have made a deal with PBC. PBC would snatch him up in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? They'll pay double that, right? PBC would have taken him. So here's the deal. You owe him $365 million and you got to pay it. And if you don't pay it, if you don't pay it because of the corona, I mean, I get it. Maybe what they should try to do if they all want to work together, right, which would be, you know, useful. It would be useful if the parties would work together for sure. And I think that they're, you know, you're talking about quality, you know, quality human beings. I'm sure they'll work it out. I'm sure they'll work it out. By the time we do the next episode, they'll work it out. But what I know is that they don't want to pay him that $365 million and they want to have a different conversation about it. And Canelo's team, and I'm sure his point is, I could have gotten my 30 mil with anybody else. And I signed with you guys for an 11 fight deal and I want my money. And you're going to pay me my money. And so I get it. $365 million. If they don't pay him the money, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get asked, he's going to use an exit clause. He's going to get out of the contract. And then his team is going to go to court to collect the money because they owe him the money. And you know why that's so important, Errol?
Tell me.
Okay, check this out. Because DAZN just bought, I believe they bought a soccer team or something like that, or they put in like $400 million into a soccer team. So DAZN is now in the soccer business, right? So if they have $400 million, now don't ask me how I know this because I just know stuff, right? But they put $400 million into a soccer team and you're not going to pay Canelo his money? It just doesn't add up, man. It's not, it's like, you know, you have a deal. If you need to extend the contract because of the coronavirus, you're talking about 6 months, right? We've been in hell for 6 months with coronavirus. If you can't work it out for a 6 month period and you're trying to get out of a contract that you agreed to for $365 million, and by the way, Canelo did everything. He's done everything that he's supposed to do to honor that contract. So guess what? DAZN, I don't know. If it goes to court, bro, you're going to have to give up the money. It's going to be very, very simple. It's not, you know, that's law 101. That's basic. You know, it's not, yes. This doesn't take any rocket science to get that figured out.
That's true.
You know?
And a good part about that is if he does leave the contract, then he'll go back to either Top Rank or PBC, of course. But he'll be back on pay-per-view. We can have these huge pay-per-view run-ups and publicity and the entire consciousness of the boxing world will be back loving pay-per-views because Canelo's coming back on. Being on this app, you don't get that buzz. You don't get that anticipation.
Yo, I stopped.
You just don't get that.
I stopped. Listen, shout out to DAZN. Nothing against the DAZN at all. But I personally stopped my subscription to DAZN because I just wasn't able to, you know, I wasn't able to utilize it. You know, there wasn't that many fights and stuff going on except for older ones. So, you know, I kind of just paused my subscription until they get their act together. But I'm hoping that they do because DAZN, I love the platform. I love it. And I love the fact that Canelo fights on it. But, you know, if Canelo moves, wherever Canelo goes is I'm watching. He's must-see TV. So I think that's true for anybody in the sport of boxing, whether you're a coach, fighter, you know, manager, promoter, or fan, you know, like real hardcore fan or just, a peripheral fan. You're gonna tune in because Canelo's got the goods, man. He's maturing into a really fantastic fighter. So, look, I know this information is really kind of just, you know, it's just coming to a head. So we, no one has all the information yet, but what I know is that, you know, blank better get my money because, you know, there's $365 million is a lot of money. And I only think he did two fights though so far. So he's got 9 more fights left on that contract. That's a long time. No?
True. So, and he's rounding into his prime now. So we should see some really good work for him. But the only slap is right now, it's hard to get someone lined up to take that challenge. And if they do sign to fight him, they want the moon along.
Yeah.
They want the moon too.
Yeah.
So that's a sticking point too.
Yeah. No, so, it's crazy. And you know what? Sal Canelo Alvarez right now, his record is 53-1 with two draws, and his one loss was against Floyd Mayweather. And he's 30 years old. He's in the prime of his career, man. He's like right at the pinnacle of his career. He's poised to, you know, to even blow up bigger than he already is. And he's ranked number one, right? He's ranked number one. Well, anyway, you know, pound for pound, number one. So, you know, shout out Guadalajara, Mexico, because that's where he's from.
The only thing he's lacking right now is the number one box office draw. And I would love to see him have opportunity on another medium to get that accolade.
Oh, man. That's, well, listen, management, whoever's, you know, the management there better, you know, pay attention because, you know, I'm sure they're working on the deal right now or they're planning the brief so that they can get in there and get that money. $365 million, that's a lot of money, man. You know?
True.
A lot of money. So, last but not least, man, we've had several debates and several wonderful conversations, Mr. Harold Hunt, about Teofimo Lopez against Vasily Lomachenko. And as the rhetoric builds and as the training, he's training right up the street from me, man. And, you know, he's doing great. He's in great shape. He's on fire, man. That's Teofimo Lopez because I haven't seen Vasily Lomachenko training. I don't think he trains around here. I think he trains in...
No, he does not.
Is he training in California? Or where is he training? Do you know where he's training?
He's in California. He's in California right now.
Yeah, he is. So he's probably up at Big Bear or something like that, right?
I think he's inner city somewhere. He's not at Big Bear. No,
he's not at Big Bear?
That's not last heard. Oh. Last I've heard, he was not there. He was somewhere, well, but he was in California.
Look, if you knew and I knew, then everybody's going to know and everybody's going to go find where he is, right? So anyway, the bottom line is that this is a powerful fight, man. This is must-see TV as well. I think it's probably on the horizon as far as all of the different events that are coming up. I mean, there's quite a bit of boxing coming up in the next in the coming month or two. And, you know, ESPN has tons of boxing going on. PBC Fox has tons of boxing going on. And then Showtime is heating it up as well. They got fights going on. So, yeah, I mean, really, there's quite a bit. BT Sports, there's so much stuff going on in the coming months. We're not even into the end of October, you know, November, December, January, February, coronavirus, bye-bye, c'est la vie, baby. I'm hoping coronavirus goes away after this election. Not saying that it's because of the election that it's so bad, but I'm not saying that. Are you saying that, Harold?
No, I know it is a it is a player in the election.
Yeah, for like sure, that. For but sure, sure.
I will say this, though. I'm impressed with the Lopez fight because, well, I'm a shout out to Bob because it's on free TV ESPN. Yeah. Imagine the numbers that it's going to generate because it is not on a pay-per-view platform. The entire world, casuals, fringe fans, everyone is going to be tuning in to this. And I am so glad to see a fight of this magnitude available for the masses because we haven't had one. And this is a great time to grab a market share from the NBA. There's no college football, and we don't know about the NFL. If this fight is half of what they think, it is really going to be helpful to boxing.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad to see it on ESPN where everyone can have access to it.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, I really, you know, I'm glad that ESPN's got a hold of that. You know, yeah, man, I am. I'm glad because I just am. I'd like to see it. I mean, I wouldn't mind pay-per-viewing that one. I would pay for that. Where, however I had to see that fight, I would want to see it just because I'm just really interested in the style matchup. I'm really interested. You know, I'm a huge fan and a huge study of Lomachenko. I mean, I study him, you know, pretty relentlessly. And I'm also I'm very fond of Teofimo Lopez. You know, I've had some interactions with him and got to know him just a little bit, had some conversations with him and just found him to be a really, really outstanding guy. So, you know, I have both interests on both sides, but I definitely think it's a style matchup, man. And Lomachenko, you know, should win maybe. That's what everybody thinks.
The key word was maybe, and you can't let your feelings get all involved, Mark. You got to look at the technical aspects. You are in fact a world-renowned trainer. You know the game, right. And you got to throw out that emotional, that feeling, and you look at the technical aspect, and you'll have your answer, which you're not going to divulge right now because you've already said what you're going to say. Now, me, I'm looking strictly at the technical. I'm not up the street from him. I don't get to be in the gym and see him work out.
Right.
I don't have that access, but I do have the footage of him and my I'm totally looking for a Lomachenko victory.
Yeah, I got that. And you know what, Harold? You know, if I wanted to just place a bet and be comfortable and sleep at night on it, I would do the same thing because Vasily Lomachenko has the goods. I mean, he's proven that he's got the goods. You know, his last handful of fights, you know, he's just decimated his opponents. And, you know, you wouldn't be remiss to say that Vasily Lomachenko should win the fight. However, Teofimo, you know, he does have more than just one punch. He is a very, very skilled fighter. And when you listen to a lot of the stuff that people have to say about the matchup, you know, they often refer to Teofimo as a simple, one punch knockout guy. And yeah, he does have the power in both hands, but he's also, number one, he's trained by his father. He's trained by a handful of very, very good handlers. And they're not looking at this fight as a one-punch knockout. They've got an incredible tactical game going into the fight. I'm sure they're putting together a plan that's that's useful and that gets the job done. And I know Vasily Lomachenko knows exactly how to deal with Teofimo Lopez. So it's just going to be a really exciting fight to watch. And I understand that when we talk about money, right? There was some discussion that basically Vasily Lomachenko kicked in $800,000 to make sure that the fight would go off because Teofimo Lopez allegedly wasn't happy with the amount of money he was being paid to take the fight. And so I don't know 100%, but it's hearsay, and you heard it right here that it's hearsay. I'm the first one to say it's hearsay, but I understood that it was not Vasily Lomachenko that put the money up, but it was actually Bob Arum because he wanted to make the fight.
Uncle Bob put
the money up to make the fight happen. And why? I don't know. That's a question for maybe the Boxing Breakdown fans, or maybe you have an answer. Why do you think he put that money up? Well, if put the money up.
If Uncle Bob could not take another hit, Uncle Bob's ESPN foray was okay. The quality of fights just wasn't necessarily what fans wanted to see. The purists enjoy it, but the casual fan did not necessarily enjoy it.
Right.
This was his way of to be sure that everything was going to come out the way it needed to be. You had two high-end fighters that were going to fight, and the disappointment that he suffered with the Pacquiao-Mayweather situation over and over again.
Right, right.
Has been avoided.
Huh. Wow, that's an interesting perspective. So
we get this fight, which is a beautiful thing, and we can get a second fight, and we can get a third fight.
Oh yeah, that division is fire, man. That division is fire. We talked about that. We talked about that on a recent Boxing Breakdown episode. So if you want to check it out, go back and look at the past episodes of the Boxing Breakdown. And as a reminder, please like us on Instagram and Twitter and friend us and join the Boxing Breakdown on Facebook. Get involved in the conversation. Yeah, man. And if you like this episode and you want to make a contribution to support it and keep it going, please go to www.patreon.com/theboxingbreakdown. And, I really, really would appreciate your help and support. And if you'd like, if you got great ideas for what you like to hear, if you'd like to be on the program, please find me. You can hit me with a DM on any of those platforms, and I'd be delighted to have you on the program. So, yeah, man, I'll check it out. If it looks like it'll match an upcoming episode, we'll get you on. Right? What do you think about that, Harold?
Yeah, that's right. Patreon.com.
Yes, / the Boxing Breakdown.
Yes.
Yeah, man, and I'm looking forward to I'm actually working with a fighter, and this is a shout out to Jonathan Rodriguez from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Indios Boxing. They are fantastic out there, and they invited me to come in and work with the team. So I'm working with the team, and I'm actually going to be heading out to the bubble in the MGM Grand in Vegas. Las Vegas. Yeah, man, with on ESPN's Top Rank. So we're gonna go over there and do the do and have a pretty amazing fight. He's fighting a kid named Manuel Flores, who's 8-0, and Jonathan Torres is 8-0. So it's going to be a real, real good fight, man. It's a 118-pound contest, and we're gonna go out there and do what we do.
No one has learned to lose yet, so someone's going to learn in that fight.
Yeah, we're not losing, bro. We don't lose, right? We don't lose. I'm an undefeated trainer, bro. We don't lose. Well,
that's right. That's right.
You know, boxing is unpredictable, bro, but we're training. We train every day in the gym. So shout out to the incredible Jonathan Rodriguez and his pops, Indio Rodriguez, and the whole team out there in Bethlehem at Indio's Boxing. You guys are outstanding. It's great to be part of your team and family. And yeah, man, I look forward to getting out there to Vegas and do what we do. So with that, Harold, I want to thank you for being on the program. It is always a pleasure to talk boxing with you and get deep and down into the sport. And I just really appreciate you, bro.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you allowing me to be here and to pick up some knowledge and insight from you also. Thank you.
Yeah, man. And thanks for having me on your program. It was great. It was great to be on your live broadcast. You want to give a shout out to that broadcast?
Oh, yes. Counterpunch Live is our video podcast that we are rolling out, and Mark was so kind to participate, and it was a hit because boxing fans, as you know, Mark is very animated, but he's very knowledgeable, and he provided a comedic, knowledgeable piece to it. And I really appreciate that. So in the future, we will have Mark back on because that is an element that we appreciated.
Yeah, we had so
Thank
much
you,
fun.
Mark.
Yo, my pleasure, man. It was my honor and privilege to be on your program. And it was a lot of fun. It was Britton Hart and Coach Dwayne Fenn, my partner in crime, masterful boxing coach and brilliant mind in the sport. Shout out Dwayne Fenn and Britton Hart, the Hart killer, right? We were out in, we were in New Hampshire, and she went up against Kim Wabick, and we got a first round knockout in that fight, a minute and 30 seconds into the first round. Well executed plan. Everything came together, and we drove back, man. We drove back from there all the way back to the big to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And when we got into Pennsylvania, man, I no longer like I just pulled in to the parking lot, and there you were, Harold. You were like, "Yo, bro, you're gonna be on the program. I need you on the program. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1, boom!" And we were there, and we had a blast, bro. It was so much fun.
So thanks again, man, and I look forward to having you on. And I relish the opportunity to talk to you. So we got some fights coming up, and our next podcast will be just great because there's going to be a lot of discussion going forward.
Yeah, man. And with that, I hope you tune in on ESPN's Top Rank card at the Bubble on September 12th. Check it out, Jonathan Rodriguez and I'd be interested to hear your take on that fight. I'm looking for your scorecard at the end of it, Harold Hunt. And with that, God bless you, man. Peace, love, and to the Boxing Breakdown fans, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, c'est la vie.
Good night.
Fight fans, join host Mark Roxie and special guests as they break down all aspects of the boxing world, including news, business, management, training, promotions, fan reactions, upcoming events, matchups, future boxing stars, title fights, state of the boxing world, and all the stuff you don't see when you watch boxing. This podcast is released each week on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live streamed on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook Live. It's the Boxing Breakdown, hosted by Mark Roxie.